The Senate proceeds to the reconsideration of House Bill 1196, pursuant to the veto of the governor, and the veto message is found on page 828 of the House Journal, as provided in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
Is there a second? Remarks on that motion?
Madam Chair, this is 1196?
1196.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Please.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I urge you to override the governor's veto and vote aye on this bill. I think it's logical if we all look at what a capital outlay fund should pay for. It should pay for things that last for more than 1 year. The general operating fund of a school district should pay for those things that are used in a year. Salaries, heating bill, lights, things like that. Supplies that are used in 1 year. The capital outlay fund, if there is any reason at all to have a capital outlay fund, it is because we want to separate those things that are going to last for more than 1 year, and we're going to treat them separately, and we're going to tax them differently. It's things like buses, things like buildings, but it's also things appropriately like books that last more than 1 year, that could last 5 years, that could last 7 years, or even 10 years. And books should be in that category. I frankly served on the Education Committee this year for the first time. I was surprised that textbooks are not typically regarded as something properly paid from capital outlay. I was very surprised. I was further surprised to learn that library books are, and to find that library books should be and textbooks should not be, seems to me is absurd. I'd like to also address one thing that is in the veto message, and that is the assertion on the first page that this will cause higher local property taxes, and there's a reference to a $7.2 million increase. This is really a great exaggeration, and it relies on a number of very unlikely assumptions. Number one, it relies on the assumption that 73% of the districts who are not at the levy max of 3 mills will buy 73% of the books, that they will spend the same amount next year and use no general fund dollars, that they will use this bill to pay for all the textbooks out of capital outlay, and that this money will all be from increased tax levies, and that is, in other words, they have no capital outlay reserves from which to spend. So if you think about those things, the likelihood of those things being true is very small. It's unreasonable to assume that. In fact, I assert that this bill may actually keep taxes down because it will relieve pressure on the general fund and enable a district to avoid opting out. So please join me, vote for overriding the veto. Vote for this bill. It's a good bill.
Further remarks? Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I think it would be in order to point a couple things out and discuss them, even though they've been touched on in the veto message. And I'll try to be brief because I know the day is wearing on. But capital outlay expenditures are supposed to pay for land and buildings and equipment. And it's truly, in some ways, difficult to justify textbooks under the category of equipment. Now, I know that we've included other things in that definition. And perhaps the best thing said is that two wrongs don't make a right. But we are truly changing the definition of capital outlay year by year when we put in these exceptions. We don't know, you know, perhaps what would be next. Would we do that for workbooks or art supplies that last for a long time? I mean, there's got to be a point where we clearly define it and stick with it. And I do believe that no matter how you look at this, it is a potential tax increase. And it is a potential tax, property tax increase. Only 47, that's 27% of the state school districts now tax capital outlay to the maximum allowed. That's not a lot. And for the other 73% of the districts, House Bill 1196 means a potential tax increase. Now, I suspect that it is debatable whether it would be 7.2 million dollars, but that figure was arrived at by taking 73% of the fiscal year 99 expenditures from the general fund for textbooks, which was $9.8 million. So there was some logic to the way that that number was arrived at. So I don't think we can say in any case that there won't be a tax increase, and it will, by the nature of capital outlay, be a property tax increase. You know, last year we took the step of limiting transfers from general funds to the capital outlay funds, and that was not necessarily an easy thing for this Senate to do. But this year, I think we're kind of backtracking a little bit by just changing the definition then of what capital outlay is. It's probably most simply stated is this bill really isn't good if you're looking at the South Dakota taxpayer. And if we need to address the issue of textbooks, then I think we should be able to do that. But I'm not sure that capital outlay are expanding, and that's truly what we're doing. The definition is the best way to do it. So I'd urge you to sustain the veto. Thank you.
Further remarks? Further remarks? Senator Dennard.
Thank you, Madam President. Question of Senator Evers.
State your question.
Senator Evers, you mentioned that I think 40-some schools are at the max of capital outlay, and the balance are at what figure? Did you give me a figure?
Senator Evers.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Dennard. I said 47 school districts, and that's 27% of the entire school districts, those 47. Now tax at the maximum allowed under capital outlay, which is $3 on a thousand. And so that would leave 73%. And frankly, that'd probably be in the range of about 120 some school districts, because I believe right now we have about 167 school districts. So.
Senator Dennard, you have the floor.
Do you have any idea, if I may?
Please.
Any idea, Senator Everest, where the rest of those school districts would be at their levy and capital outlay?
Senator Everest.
No, I'm not. I'm really not certain of where they'd be. I know some districts, smaller districts, are actually lower than you might think, because they're not building a building, and they may not be interested in taking that approach. They may be more interested in going out for a bond. I think the Sioux Falls School District, the last time I looked, was about 2.7. But I could try to get that information for you.
Okay. Senator Dennard.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, as I looked at my school district, I think the capital outlay levy in Aberdeen, if I remember it right, please forgive me, I think I'll be close, was 215. So I'm just assuming that, and I know how they figured this on, but just assume the rest of the schools that were under three mills in the max. The last week of session, or the 39th day, we passed out some levy increases to all the school districts across the state. And I think in Aberdeen's case, and I'm just going off of the work I did last week and my own, we raised the mill levy for all of my ag land 0.71 mills, and I think for my owner-occupied 1.1 mills, just of our action on the 39th day. So if you would take Sioux Falls, for example, Senator Evers, that's at 2.7. Even if they went to the max, it would be 0.3. Aberdeen could be 0.85. I just think that by overriding this veto, gives our schools some of their freedom of choice, which I think we've taken away from them. It wouldn't be any different probably than opting out, but they have to get a vote of the people to opt out of a program, and this is one way they could go to the three mills anyway, whether they buy textbooks or not on it, they could go to it. So that would be my question, and I would hope we could override the veto. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Koskin.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the Senate. I voted for this bill when it came through the first time, and it's kind of out of frustration because I was kind of offsetting some of the things that were done last year, and I didn't support that bill last year where we limited the transfers. But I think we need to start defining and maybe starting today with what is capital. what is capital expenditure? And in my mind, it does. There's two different kind of definitions that help me define it. One is it's a depreciable item, and a depreciable item also that probably will take continued maintenance or repairs. Buses, buildings, you have to have maintenance come in. So those, that to me is kind of one definition. The second part of a definition for capital expenditures is those that do not take state participation. In other words, if we send out our state aid to the schools, that goes to teacher salaries. We share, the locals and the state both share in that expense. And I think books, to me, fall in that category of an instructional expense that the state takes part in funding. So that's participation. So to me, this does fall in the capital outlay, in the general fund area. And so that's where I'm coming down on it, even though I would like to support the bill. But I would, this is the part that really concerns me, and it goes back to the comments made about, is it going to increase taxes? And it will. It definitely will. I go back to the 1994 election, and I base a lot of my beliefs on stated formula back to that election, believing that we still need to maintain and hold that line. As you remember, it was just narrowly defeated that we didn't put a cap on property tax at 1%. And that was for all of government, all of local government, counties, municipalities, schools, townships, the whole works. And so that would have been much more major. So I go back to that. One of the things that was troubling after we passed that bill, and we worked hard to get that bill passed, that legislation passed, is you go out to the taxpayers and they said, don't give me any more property tax relief, I can't afford anymore. And I hear that comment. And part of the reason was, when we limited general fund levies, we did not limit capital outlay, we did not limit the retirement, some bond issues, we didn't cap those. And the schools raised those levies and spent more money. This is going to make that continue on down that line. There will be, if a school is maxed, which most of them are in the general fund, if they're spending at the level that we set up here in Pierre, and they need more money, rather than opt out, they will go to this fund, and taxes will increase. I will also remind the body, and I don't know if you've heard any feedback, but this year we're also increasing because of the whiplash of the Cutler-Gabriel Amendment. We're going to be increasing the levies at the local level on top of that. So we're going to see a significant increase in property taxes next year. Overall, we're at the 30%. We're declining. But this on top of the whiplash effect of our changing our levies in Pierre, people are going to notice it this year. And it's not going to be pleasant to have to explain our property tax relief program over again. And this is going to affect that. I urge you to sustain the veto, and if we need to change the levies to allow the schools to do this, we need to face it up front and do it that way.
Further remarks, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, well, I would ask you to vote to override the governor's veto of 1196. You know, we haven't talked about something else that I think is really important in this legislature, and what this bill really does mean, and it's called quality education. For many districts, it's the difference between staying on their curriculum cycle and bringing up-to-date learning materials to those students or not doing it. Philosophically, we create what this fund or what capital outlay is for. Philosophically, we did it in the 80s with computer technology. Okay, now we're saying textbooks. As a school administrator, I can tell you that 15 years ago it cost $6 for a math book. It doesn't cost that much anymore. It costs $35 or $45. So I think it's really important that we stay on our cycle so the kids do have, our students do have the most up-to-date materials possible, and give the board a little flexibility. It is really doing the clairvoyancy to say the property taxes are going to go up, because maybe their current levy does in fact allow them the latitude, and maybe it could in fact be a combination of general fund and capital outlay. This gives some flexibility that I know in my district is really needed, so I would hope that you would vote to override 1196. Thank you.
Further remarks, Senator McIntyre.
Madam President, thank you. Members of the body, once again, we are looking at a bill that attempts to make a solution to a problem that exists in all of those districts across the state. lack of funds and lack of ability to spend the funds wisely and judiciously, and lack of the flexibility to make the most frugal and the most appropriate use of the funds, the limited funds that we've allowed them to accumulate. It seems to me a bogus argument to talk about the fact that a textbook is not a capital outlay fund when the Bunsen burner that the science teacher is using is a capital outlay fund. The desk that the textbook sits on is an outlay fund. Senator Koskin talks about the fact that an item is appreciable. Textbooks last over a long period of time. Textbooks are repaired and recycled so that they can continue their operation beyond the first year when they are new and smell good and bindings are not broken. In the school district that I served for so many years, we did take good care of the textbooks because we knew they had to last for a certain designated length of time. Senator Olson has talked about the fact that any reputable curriculum director, principal, teacher is going to have a certain plan of operation to see how many textbooks they need for a certain segment of time. And all of these expenditures are expensive. Sometimes a textbook's expenditure is higher than any of the other capital outlay funds that a school district is spending on a particular during a particular cycle. So I think of all the arguments that I see in the veto message, frankly, none of them make any sense. I think it behooves us to do the proper thing, the right thing, and override the veto.
Madam President.
Senator Cleven.
Thank you, Madam President, and members of the body. Again, we're addressing an accounting issue, in my opinion, and it's certainly important that we do fund education and fund it adequately, but let's not play games to do this, and let's not perpetuate a fraud to do this. Legislative audit says that textbooks are supplies, they're not equipment, and they are supplies. It's like saying that a car is not a vehicle or whatever we would like to classify. But when you talk about the tax situation too, the source is different for which we get the capital outlay funds. You have a 3-mill levy that you can tax and up to that levy. This is across the board for every classification. Your homeowner property, your non-homeowner, your commercial, your non-ag and ag property, they're all equally taxed. You have a business or an ag operator that has to have a lot of property in order to operate, then he or she is going to pay an inordinate amount for this process across the board. So, Constable, it is not fair. We have put this in as a general expense item, a general legislative audit says it should be a general expense item, and I think that we would be doing a disservice by skirting the issue and creating something that is not there. This is not the adequate place to put it, and I urge you to sustain the veto.
Further remarks. Senator Hutmacher.
Thank you, Madam President, and members of the body. Well, I do believe, I see Senator Rosa smiling over here. I do believe that this bill is something that does not say they will take it out of capital outlay. They can use that option. I think we need to keep that in mind. They may purchase textbooks from capital outlay. It doesn't say they must, it say they may. The other thing I think that we need to realize here is that we changed that definition this year, capital outlay, from a $300 expense up to $1,000. It does talk about real estate, but it does talk about equipment. It talks about those items also in a 20-year or less installment purchase or lease plan. I'm sure that you could probably, this day and age, find some company to lease textbooks from that would purchase it, and you'd have a lease purchase plan. I think that's totally kind of in violation of the law. I do believe that paper and expenses like that need to come out of the general fund. Those are a year-to-year expense. Textbooks can be a year-to-year expense, but they're for a different series. Those books last more than 1 year. They last 5, 6, 8 years, depending on the textbook and the subject matter. And I do believe that that's something that should be necessary and be able to do to take out of the capital outlay fund. I don't know how many of you have thought about it, but the bill that we passed here, 1258, with the 20% fund balance in general fund, school districts that have supposedly excess general funds, if I want to refer to that, over 20%, are not going to go to their capital outlay fund to purchase textbooks. They need to get those funds down. That's where they're going to go, is back to the general fund to do that. I think that all this bill does is refer back to the inequity when we stopped the transfers, or some members of this legislature voted to stop transfers, what the inequities are in that bill. I would also like you to refer back to House Bill 1166, the Jake Brake bill. I think there's some interesting words the governor wrote there, and I would hope that they could apply, but they don't seem to. If you get down into the second paragraph, or the third paragraph there, talks about, he asked the question, did the legislature really intend to impose a blanket prohibition over local officials' knowledge of their community? Is there so little trust in our municipal government that the legislature must take away the local community's ability to regulate its own health, peace, and safety? No state law should presume to take the place of local officials' judgment. I think that's exactly what we've done last year in the prohibition of transfers. That's exactly what we did in 1258 again, taking away their ability for judgment. This is what we're doing again in this bill. I would ask that we let them have their own judgment and override the veto.
Further remarks. Senator DeHuick.
Thank you, Madam President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I rise to urge the Senate to override this veto, and I would briefly like to parrot some of what Senator Huttmacher has just indicated, and that goes to the issue of local control. I think we've lost sight of the ball on this bill. Not so many years ago, many of you who are sitting on this Senate floor today, along with Governor Bill Janklow, espoused the belief that it was important to put local control back into the school districts. You repealed literally hundreds of rules and laws that were on the books that in some way, shape, or form dictated to the local governmental entity, the school district, what they should and should not be doing. And now, it's extremely curious to me, every time we turn around during this legislative session, on Governor Janklow's bidding, we are trying to dictate to the school districts. We're trying to tell them how to run their business. And I believe that this bill is one more example where the governor is saying, kill the bill because we've given too much authority to the local school district. Senator Huttmacher is absolutely correct. It's not a mandate. Who controls whether or not those expenses come out of capital outlay or the general fund? Who controls that, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate? The school board, maybe? The finance officer of the school district? Who elects those people to the school board? Let's have some belief and some faith in their ability to run the district. And believe you me, folks, if the people in that district don't like it, they'll let their wishes be known. Let's do the right thing and override this veto. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being, shall House Bill 1196 pass the veto of the governor notwithstanding? As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
APA?
Thank you so much.
Bogue?
Aye.
Rose?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
DeHuick?
Aye.
Dennard?
Aye.
Dietrich Larry?
Aye.
Dietrich Elmer?
Aye.
Drake?
Aye.
Duxbury?
Aye.
Everest?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hagen?
Aye.
Hange?
No.
Ham?
Aye.
Huttmacher?
Aye.
Cleven?
No.
Ketzel?
Aye.
Koskin?
No.
Madden?
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
McIntyre.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Munson. Olson.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Reedy.
Aye.
Staggers.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Simmons.
Aye.
Bitter.
Aye.
Valesky.
Aye.
Whiting.
Aye.
Senator Brown. Brown, no. Senator Munson. Senator Munson. Madam President, ayes 29, nays 5, excused 1.
The bill has received a two-thirds majority of the members elect. The bill has passed, notwithstanding the veto of the governor.